Good evening, Baltimore. Welcome to the Baltimore Forum here on this rather pleasant Sunday evening. I was having a great day until I went to the ballpark. I was having a great day until I left the ballpark. Obviously, the Orioles losing today 7-2 to the, I can't even remember who they played, the Phillies. That was a lapse in my memory there, which is not all that uncommon. It was a great day. I get to talk sports in the morning with Rob Long and Jeremy Kahn. I get to come in here and talk some civics issues, I guess you could call it. You really can't call it politics, I guess, but civics is probably the better word, I think.
Get aggravated at night.
I mean, the ballpark really wasn't aggravating. It's disappointing to see your the home team lose, but what you gonna do? No, I really don't get aggravated over political or civics debates. I rather enjoy them. It's, I think it's one of the best things about living in the country that we do live in. The fact that you can have a civil discussion over different issues, different beliefs that you have on how a government should be run or how a country should be run for that matter. And I think this issue is a good one to talk about.
Well, it's a lot going on. Young people are really taking a stand. And
I was very surprised you were telling me that your daughter is very involved. I assume high school?
High school.
Yeah, okay. Is actually involved in taking a stand on an issue that she believes in. And I guess we should probably introduce what we're going to talk about here.
Rex Curry, author, lawyer from Florida, and he has a website, rexcurry.net, and he talks about the Pledge of Allegiance. And we're going to get into that with him and the history of the pledge and why he believes that the pledge should not be recited in schools.
Very interesting topic, something that's come up in the news off and on over the past year, but really it's been something that's continuously debated out. Obviously, since the words "under God" had been introduced into the pledge, it's something that has been an issue of contention, especially recently. But Mr. Curry obviously has an even more, I guess, I don't want to say extreme view, but it takes issue with the pledge in general. And he has some very interesting information on the background of the pledge as well.
Yeah, the word, it was written by us. Well, he'll tell us all about it.
Let's leave Mr. Curry to tell it, and since he's hanging on the line as we speak, why don't we go right out to him? How you doing, Mr. Curry? Rex, are you with us? Looks like we'll have to go back to Rex for a little bit, see if we can figure out why we can't talk to Rex Curry at the moment. But an interesting topic nonetheless. Hopefully we can get a hold of him. We'll take a short break, see if we can't get a hold of Mr. Curry. We'll be right back. You're listening to 1570 AM WNST Towson, Baltimore.
WNST.
You've recently heard me talk about one of our new sponsors, the all-new Manhattan Grill in Perry Hall. And if you haven't been yet, what are you waiting for? Get over there. Located in the Honeygrove Village Center on Honeygrove Village Drive, the Manhattan Grill is the perfect atmosphere for a casual night out with the guys or an evening out with your loved one. Dine in the full-service bar with 11 plasma TVs, a TV at every booth, and two daily happy hours. The happiest of happy hours from 11 to 4, and the regular happy hour from 4 to 7 on Monday through Saturday. It's always happy at the Manhattan Grill in Perry Hall. Plus, the Manhattan Grill is Baltimore's American League East baseball and soccer headquarters. That means Red Sox, Yankees, Orioles, or any soccer game, you go to the Manhattan Grill, they're going to have it for you. Or you can just enjoy the Manhattan Grill's daily lunch and dinner specials in their elegant dining room. Open daily at 11 a.m., it's the Manhattan Grill in the Village Center on Honeygrove Village Drive in Perry Hall. Call 410-248-9310 for directions or reservations. That's 410-248-9310 for the all-new Manhattan Grill. open for almost 2 years and still going strong, Larry Flint's Hustler Club at the top of the block is Baltimore's premier all-nude venue. Gentlemen, this place was voted the number one gentleman's club in the nation. Larry Flint's Hustler Club caters to businessmen and upscale clientele with a $5 lunch special, which includes a menu choice and a beverage, plus the number one day shift around. There is no JV team at the Hustler Club. It's all varsity. Monday through Saturday from noon to 4, enjoy 2-for-1 dances, plus $2 Tuesdays. Most drinks are $2 all day and night, and every Wednesday night at 9 p.m., it is the Hustler Honey Search for $500 in cash. Larry Flint's Hustler Club at the top of the block in Baltimore. And Oriole fans, bring your ticket stub to Larry Flint's Hustler Club after the game, and you get $5 off admission.
The Hustler Club, voted number one in the nation. Every Wednesday night at 9 p.m., it's the Hustler Honey Search for $500 cash at the Hustler Club.
Are you interested in buying a home but have been turned down for a mortgage? Maybe you've held off applying for a mortgage because you thought you couldn't get approved. If that's the case, you need our friend Brooke Boyle at USA Home Loans, 410-382-1090. That's 382-1090, and that's not the radio station. Brooke Boyle and USA Home Loans provide loans for folks with poor credit, a history of late payments, judgments, or people who've just been through bankruptcy and need a little help. 100% financing now available for borrowers with less than perfect credit. But you gotta call Brooke Boyle and my friends at USA Home Loans, 410-382-1090. If you're sick of renting or want to get a better deal than you have with your current mortgage, call Brooke Boyle at USA Home Loans, 410-382-1090. We open doors for mortgage borrowers with financial challenges. Brooke Boyle, USA Home Loans, 410-382-1090.
All day, all night.
All sports.
Sports Talk 1570, WNST.
Welcome back to the Baltimore Forum. We're on WNST, 1570 AM, Towson, Baltimore. Just trying to start this one more time.
Can we start over now?
We hit the reset button is what we did. Hit the reset button, just like on your Sega or your Nintendo, whatever it is. Just start it right over. Anyway, as we were introducing the topic at the beginning of the show, we mentioned that we're going to have Rex Curry, who is going to provide us with some interesting information about the Pledge of Allegiance and some of his views as to why or why not it should be said or required to be repeated in schools. Let's try this again, and we'll say hello to Mr. Rex Curry. How you doing this evening, sir?
Good evening.
There we go.
You can hear me?
I can hear you now.
Rex Curry here. I'll be happy to tell you everything you'd like to know about the pledge, but we're afraid to ask.
I was taking a look at your website, and I can understand why some people might be afraid to ask questions about the history of the pledge.
I'm the person who actually discovered that the pledge was the origin of the notorious straight-arm salute of the Nazi Party. That's the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Also happened to be the person who discovered that the swastika was used sometimes by the National Socialist German Workers' Party to represent overlapping S letters for socialism under their National Socialist Party. And it kind of even ties into the flag because, oddly enough, the author of the pledge was Francis Bellamy, a self-proclaimed National Socialist 3 decades before Hitler and the National Socialists in Germany.
Now, your findings actually discovered that it was a socialist that created the pledge or wrote down the pledge? Is that what I understand?
Yes, Francis Bellamy was a self-proclaimed socialist, and he was in the nationalism movement. He and his cohort, his cousin, Edward Bellamy, who was also famous back then as an author, were... They both supported and wrote for the Nationalist Magazine and the Nationalist Educational Association. all of which I have photos of and more detail on my website, rexcurry.net. And, yeah, it's just quite terrifying. They actually supported what they called military socialism. They were admirers of the military, and they wanted to have what they called the military efficiency applied to everything, food, clothing, shelter, the entire society. And they were going to use schools to do that. They wanted the government to take over all the schools, and that's why you've got a flag now in every school, because it represents, to the Bellamy's, it represented their goal of nationalization of the entire economy. They wanted to create what they called an industrial army for this purpose, to nationalize the entire economy.
Hey, Rex, why do you think the pledge was never rewritten, if that was the case?
Why it was never rewritten?
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people started to forget about it. And that's one of the funny things about, you mentioned a high school student. They don't ever show you an original historic photograph of the original Pledge of Allegiance, which would show you kids doing the Heil Hitler salute to the U.S. flag. And they don't tell you anything but the vaguest propaganda in government schools about Francis Bellamy. And they certainly won't tell you as much as I'm telling you right now, and I'll tell you a lot more as we keep talking. So they started to forget about it because they stopped facing what the reality was. Even so, it wasn't until 1942 that they switched the salute to the hand over the heart. And the odd thing about it was, Francis was such an admirer of the military, he actually started the original pledge with a military salute, and that was for the phrase, "I pledge allegiance." And then, the way he originally wrote it in the 1892 Youth Companion magazine, the arm would be extended for the rest of the pledge, and it was supposed to have a gesture, the hand was supposed to be turned upward, as if you were saying, "Here's the flag." But of course, in practice, especially with the youngsters, they weren't into detail work. So they would do the military salute, and then they'd just casually stick the military salute straight out towards the flag. And that's where you got the classic Nazi-style salute. And so in a sense, amazingly, you can actually say that the military salute became the Nazi salute because of the original Pledge of Allegiance to the U.S. flag.
Now, you're talking about a military salute. I mean, the military salute of the U.S. Army has always been a hand to the head.
Exactly. He started the pledge.
Right.
The part that says, "I pledge allegiance," was with a military salute.
Correct.
As he originally wrote it. And then you would extend your hand out from the military salute to the flag.
Now, where did that come from, the extending of the hand?
That was his original description in the 1892 Youth's Companion magazine, in which the original Pledge of Allegiance first appeared.
But, I mean, is that something that he just came up with himself, or did... Because there's... I've noticed on your website that you make a reference to the fact that it's a myth that the Nazis got their hand salute from Romans, which is what I've always been told, and what I heard a lot of people say they believe.
Right, exactly.
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you
because you get a little soft. But what happened? And can you hear me well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
coming through loud and clear.
That is the classic explanation. Everybody, just about everybody who has an opinion about it, has been told all their lives that it was an ancient Roman salute. Well, that's just a complete myth. There is no support for the idea that it was an ancient Roman salute. And the way that salute, that myth came up was that after the U.S. pledge started in 1892, we began to have movies, the original silent black and white movies. And they, in some of the very early movies, they had fictional Roman scenes that used the original Pledge of Allegiance salute, the straight arm salute, including even the really old Ben Hur that you've probably never seen, the silent one.
Seen parts of it, actually.
And other Roman scenes. And that's where the Roman salute myth came from, although there are other possible influences, including the fact that Francis Bellamy himself was from Rome, New York, and believe it or not, back then and even today, they sometimes refer to people and things from Rome, New York as Roman, because a lot of the cities in Rome were named after classical history like Syracuse and Albany and Rome and so forth. They have other cities, and in fact, that's why it's actually called the Empire State. It was actually a reference to the Roman Empire State and the Empire State Building, you know. So that's part of the whole Roman salute myth.
Hmm. Hey, Rex, I understand, I know now where this was written, and this is news to me. I never knew this all the years that I recited the pledge. But if I recite it in the future, that doesn't make me a Nazi because I'm to me, it's still, I'm pledging to my flag. I mean, do you understand what I mean?
Sure, sure. I know a lot of people feel very strongly about it. In fact, I get some people who are just really mad that when they discover what the original salute was and who wrote it, they're mad because the schools never told them, the government never told them, the newspapers and the media never show it or talk about it. So it seems to be a bizarre cover-up even to this day, although, to tell you the truth, it's been going on so long that most of the people in the media are ignorant about it themselves, so they don't know what to tell it. And but nevertheless, part of the problem was that Bellamy wanted a government takeover of the schools, and in a sense, he succeeded completely, at least to that extent. And as long as you've got government schools, you're going to have the government promoting the glorification of government itself, massive spending like we have now. They're actually outspending Clinton by double now. And every type of socialistic program, and, of course, you get lots of students who don't know a thing about free market economics or, for that matter, the Constitution and individual liberty. So, to me, it's part of the same problem. In many ways, Bellamy succeeded, and they lied to kids about the pledge, and the government schools teach kids to worship government and the expansion of government.
Rex, you're getting ahead of me just a second there, just a little bit there. I definitely want to touch on the what you've just mentioned.
Well, and I could put it this way. A lot of people will tell you that they love the Pledge of Allegiance, and there's always that question, do they love the Pledge of Allegiance because they've basically been led in reciting it every morning at the ring of a bell for 12 years of their lives, like Pavlov's lapdogs of the state, and government schools, because they've been taught to like it. You know, it's hard to say. It's hard to separate the effects of this propaganda.
Well, here's one problem that I have, and I think John was articulating it in the same manner. You seem to be relating the pledge, or the salute to the pledge that was invented by Bellamy, as something sinister, and it looks sinister from now, but at the time, it came before the Nazis. I mean, Nazification of different symbols over the years has made things that were seemingly benign at the time, because Nazis took a hold of them later, now they seem sinister. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if we were living in 1920, a hand raised towards saluting something, it wouldn't seem evil to us, but because now we know that the Nazis used it, it is sinister. And that's the kind of a problem I have right now, because it seems like you're vilifying the pledge, even though it was written and saluted in a certain way before the Nazis took a hold of it.
Right, right. Yes, I am vilifying the pledge, and I'll say more about that. Of course, I'm not just talking about the gesture. That's why I always describe the circumstances of the fact that he was philosophically promoting national socialism, nationalization of the economy. He did it three decades before the Nazis did it. And what's amazing is his cohort and cousin, Edward Bellamy, wrote a fictional novel, Looking Backward, that was an international bestseller, was translated into every major language, including Russian, German, and Chinese. This was three decades before the Nazis and the who killed 21 million people. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics killed 62 million, and the People's Republic of China killed 35 million, following the same socialistic philosophy. And he actually helped with other socialists to inspire those countries in the worst slaughter in human history. And it did tie in because they also created 167 clubs. They called them nationalist clubs, and they wrote and spoke worldwide, along with that bestseller that influenced socialists worldwide. So it's just a tragedy to think about how the Bellamy's, not only here with the pledge, promoted so much socialism, but it can be shown to have influenced and inspired socialists in the other hellholes of socialism all over the world.
Again, you're listening to, the Baltimore Forum on 1570
AM. I'm having trouble hearing you again.
Sorry?
You're a little soft. It's hard to hear you.
You're listening to the Baltimore Forum here on 1570 AM, WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Rex, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. Obviously, you have your website, www.rexcurry.net. You're basically running a campaign, I guess you could call it that, to remove the pledge from schools, as actually a lot of other people are doing for various reasons.
Yes. Yeah, I encourage high school students and all school students to not chant the pledge and to actually work to stop the pledge in their schools, which is actually difficult because many states actually have laws where they, even though they can't make children recite it, they still have laws that make the teachers recite it and attempt to lead youngsters. And, of course, you probably saw a videotape a while back about an incident up, I think, in New Jersey where a teacher was trying to make a student stand for it. So there's still confusion about what they can do. But some people would like to make it mandatory. It used to be mandatory. In fact, this is frightening. 1936, Jesse Owens is in Berlin at the Olympics. People don't realize it, but at that time when he's over there, and he did not do the Nazi salute towards Hitler when he walked into Olympic Stadium, people don't realize that nevertheless his friends and family were going to segregated government schools where every morning they were forced by law to stand up and chant that pledge with the Nazi salute. Pledge written by a national socialist in the USA. And so part of the legacy of what the Bellamy's did by having the government take over schools is they institutionalized racism and segregation. The government schools taught racism as official government policy, and they were by law forcing kids to do the Nazi salute and chant the pledge every morning and expelling them if they didn't and even persecuting them. And the weird thing is, one of the first people who fought it was the Jehovah's Witnesses, who were very religious people, and they consider it to be sacrilegious because they consider it to be a type of worship of government and socialism. And so at the same time that the Jehovah's Witnesses were being persecuted by the National Socialist German Workers' Party, 1936, because they wouldn't do the salute over there, they start opposing it here. Same thing happens. They get persecuted. They get expelled from the schools. Goes to the Supreme Court. First time they lose. Supreme Court says, yes, we can make you do this, and we'll expel you if you don't do it. But 3 years later, the Supreme Court, in one of the quickest reversals of itself, changes its mind and says, no, we're not going to make. We cannot make you do this. We're not going to expel you. Nobody can do that. And so from now, youngsters cannot be forced to do it, but of course, the laws make teachers recite it, make teachers try to lead students in reciting it. And back then, the Jehovah's Witnesses actually ended up going to private schools or church schools in order to not be forced to do something they found sacrilegious.
I don't know. Here's the problem I have with it, and it to me, if you can't express some kind of love for your country, some kind of a, not even love, some kind of appreciation That a simple gesture of appreciation. To me, that's what the pledge is to me. A simple gesture saying, you know, I appreciate where I live. I appreciate the flag that stands for all that that I believe in. I appreciate that nation that gives me the opportunity to believe what I believe in.
I
have an issue that if you can't give that much of your time, one minute a day, some 50 words a day, just to show some kind of appreciation that you have freedom, rights, and freedom.
Well, of course, that's not what the pledge was all about. It was the opposite of freedom. It was promoting the destruction of individual liberty and free market economics. It was promoting socialism. I think you would have people celebrating freedom and liberty if the government had not taken over schools. They would be either learning the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, something actually relevant to the law, as opposed to what they're doing now. I like to tell people that I think real Americans don't pledge allegiance. They declare their independence as under the Declaration of Independence. Besides, our government is so incredibly enormous, becoming a police state, that there are so many things that you should be pledging disallegiance to. I mean, I'm a libertarian, and I know a lot of people in the Republican Party supposedly pledge their disallegiance to the enormous taxes that we have, the socialistic programs that we have that they want to end or cut. And, of course, none of that is happening. They're outspending Clinton by double, and the government just gets bigger and bigger. So you should be pledging your disallegiance to all the bad things that the government does, and I think that would be more so if the government had not taken over schools. In fact, you know, the funny thing about the Jesse Owens comments I made before, of course, it wasn't just people like Jesse Owens' family and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Strangely enough, the U.S. schools in the U.S. were making Jewish people do this, too. Had you ever thought about that? They were doing the Nazi salute in the USA through the rise of Nazism at the same time that they're being persecuted by the National Socialist German Workers' Party in Germany. Just mind-boggling, and most people don't realize that was happening.
Hey, Rex, I'm just trying to get totally where you're coming from. Say the pledge was written by, say, Francis Scott Key. Would it be okay then for children to stand up every morning and recite it?
Well, if Francis Scott Key thought like Bellamy did, Francis Bellamy, I'd tell you that was nuts. Of course, you know, why do you want to... It should be the opposite of the way we do the pledge. The kids should be sitting there, and the teachers, since they're government employees, they should be chanting a pledge to respect their individual rights. People in Congress and the state legislatures should be chanting a pledge to us every morning to respect our individual rights in the Constitution. So they got it backwards because it was written by a socialist, so he didn't understand freedom and individual liberty. And aside from that, let's face it, you're doing it every morning. I hate to break this to you, but it's basically considered a type of brainwashing. And what they're trying to, what they're really telling you is they're telling you they don't believe you. They didn't believe you yesterday. You did it for a whole month. They still don't believe you. They're not going to believe you next year when you show up in school. In fact, it was funny, a fellow once told me that's why he stopped saying it when he was a young kid, because he realized no matter how many times he said it, they thought he was lying. They think you're lying. They don't believe you. They hate you, and they think that they need to brainwash you by having you glorify government every freaking day when the bell rings to glorify the socialist pledge, which is why it was originally written by Francis Bellamy.
So the problem was the author, not the actual words of the pledge.
Well, it's everything. It's the author, it's his philosophy, the fact that he used it to take over the government schools. He succeeded because he was promoting nationalization of the whole economy. In fact, here's a slogan that's come up. It's remove the pledge from the flag, remove the flags from the schools, and remove the schools from the government. Really part and parcel of the whole topic we're discussing. It's not only just that the government is trying to make you glorify it every morning when it rings a bell, make you stand in military formation. It originally even included a military salute, but to also put that flag over the schools. Originally, the schools were private in this country, and originally, even after that, they were more state-oriented, right? Well, now Francis Bellamy stuck that federal flag over your school because he wanted to say to you, we own you. This is the federal government.
So wait a minute. Anytime that I fly an American flag over my house, that symbolizes that the government owns my house, or the government owns me?
No. Right now, you still own your own house. But the reality is Bellamy and the people who supported him succeeded in having government take over education. I mean, they did that. That's what we have now.
I can agree with that.
All the schools, and that's why you got flags over all the schools. And that's why you also want to remove the schools from government, because they also used to be private schools. And when they started persecuting people like the Jehovah's Witnesses said, see you later. We're going to go back to the way it was. We'll take care of it ourselves, which is what I'd like to also encourage people to do.
You're listening to the Baltimore Forum here on 1570 AM WNST Towson, Baltimore. Rex, one more thing I wanted to get to. And basically, we've already gotten to that point, basically the culmination of this discussion. What would you have schools do if they were not supported by the government or provided funds by the government? What would you do to rectify that situation if we were to move the federal government entirely from the school systems?
Yeah, well, that would be a good start. What I do is I analogize it to churches. Now, imagine if Bellamy had also succeeded in having the government take over all the churches. And then we were having this very same discussion right now that we're having. And I said to you, well, I think it's nuts that the government runs all the churches. And then, of course, you would say to me, well, Rex, what are we going to do then? How are poor people going to go to church if the government doesn't run all the churches? Well, my response would be exactly the same. I would say to you, there will be churches everywhere. They will be better. They will be diverse in variety, types, shapes, sizes, ideologies. You'll learn tolerance. They will be free. You won't be taxed to death for them. They won't be expensive. And that's exactly what I say to you about the schools. The government has done nothing but turn our kids into ignorant socialists who are taught to worship the government every day, who do not understand the Constitution because they're busy chanting pledges written by a socialist. And that's why you need to remove the pledge from the flags from the schools, and the schools from the government.
You have no argument for me than the fact that public schools are not doing their jobs. And especially when it comes to learning lessons on civics, and it's absolutely mind-boggling to me how many kids come out of middle school, high school, and don't know how a president is elected, or simple questions about the construction of our government. However, I really have an issue with you saying that the pledge is the root of this problem.
I didn't say it was. Just the pledge. In fact, I keep trying to say the opposite. It wasn't just the pledge, although that was part of the whole philosophy of Bellamy promoting national socialism and a government taking over everything, nationalization of the entire economy, and he definitely succeeded, at least to the extent of the schools. Actually succeeded in other ways, but so that was the whole part of the whole issue there. Socialism that he was promoting.
Hey Rex, if we remove the flag from the school, remove the pledge, aren't we sending a really bad message to our kids? I mean, how do we teach them to love their country?
No, absolutely not. We're sending them the best message possible, which is you need to love your country, not your government. The government is out of control. It is outspending Clinton by double. Everything it does, it expands, it's taking on police state powers, it's going to impose a national ID system, it taxes you into penury, and we're just on the same sad track that somehow we managed to avoid while they killed 62 million people in the Union of the Soviet Socialist Republics 35 million in the People's Republic of China and 21 million in the National Socialist German Workers' Party. I mean, we need to celebrate individual liberty and free market economics, and that means cutting government, giving people their rights back, and also getting the government out of education. It's the worst mistake we ever made, was letting the government educate our children. It has been a disaster for us, and we are so fortunate that we didn't end up with the mass slaughter that occurred in other countries that followed the Bellamy philosophy.
See, I don't see that with kids doing the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't see them thinking to themselves.
Take a look at the pictures. I mean, it's like saying, well, why don't we just return to the original salute too? You know,
Reasons we can't do that because of the Nazis. But.
Well, it was Nazified. Not that the original salute itself was evil. The fact that the Nazis used it is what makes it evil in our minds.
Well, in a sense, we were. Bellamy was already that evil. Bellamy was espousing that philosophy of National Socialism. Bellamy influenced those people over there. In fact, Edward Bellamy actually was in Dresden, in Germany, before he wrote Looking Backward, his book, when he was a young man. So I'm still researching all this. I think there's even more out there that people have forgotten and haven't paid any attention to. That's why they don't show you the pictures of the salute in the schools and tell you everything I've told you, because you and I know exactly what would happen if the kids knew what was going on. Nobody would be saying it. The only reason they're saying the Pledge of Allegiance every day in school, the kids, is because they're lied to, because nobody tells them the truth about the pledge. That's the only reason the pledge still exists.
Well, Mr. Curry, obviously, I still disagree with you, but I do thank you very much for coming on and explaining what exactly it is you found through your research.
Yes,
and
sir.
I appreciate your expression of your point of views.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Have a good evening.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be right back after these few messages. John and I will discuss what we've heard. If you'd like to give a few opinions yourself, you can give us a call, 410-481-1570. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to 1570 AM, WNST, Towson, Baltimore.
WNST.
Hey, for the last few weeks, I've been telling you about the Mount Washington Tavern and all the great things that they have to offer over there. And let me tell you, the garden room with the retractable roof, the comfort of indoors with the fresh air, spring smell and sounds, great place for business lunches is the Mount Washington Tavern. The Sky Bar with the rooftop open air bar, a full menu and table service available there. 4 TVs. The Orioles are winning. You can watch them do it over there at the Mount Washington Tavern. It's a perfect spot for your spring lacrosse club or your softball team or your golf group. Anytime you want to congregate as a group, do it at the Mount Washington Tavern. Call Mike at 410-367-6903. Tell him you would like to bring your group over to the Mount Washington Tavern for a regular spot at one of the area's best restaurants. Great place for business lunches. The open air bar where you can watch the Orioles. You can't beat it. It's the Mount Washington Tavern.
Tavern Thursdays at the Mount Washington Tavern feature $1 beers, $1 Tuaca shots, and $2.50 Smirnoff drinks.
With today's rising interest rates, one local bank is keeping you ahead of change. For a limited time, KBank is offering their 19-month CD with a very competitive 4.0% annual percentage yield. That's a 4.0% APY on a 19-month CD with only a $500 initial deposit. As interest rates continue to climb, trust KBank to offer you the opportunities that keep you ahead of the pack. The power to help your money do more. That's the power of K. KBank. Visit any of our convenient locations throughout Baltimore and Randallstown, Eldersburg, Perry Hall, Bel Air, Ellicott City, Cockeysville, Pasadena, and Owings Mills, or log on to kbank.net. That's kbank.net. Experience the power of K. KBank. APY subject to change. $500 minimum balance required. Penalty for early withdrawal. Member FDIC.
This is Nasty Nestor Aparicio. I want to tell you a little bit about a friend of mine, Ray Burke. Now, a lot of you may know Ray, who's an attorney, from his thoughtful commentary in the Baltimore Sun on the op-ed page. That's everything from local sports to national politics. Now I'd like to introduce you to Ray, who has 27 years of practicing law right here in Maryland. Ray, tell me a little bit about your firm.
The firm is Freistadt Burke Mullen and Dubnow, and we handle virtually every aspect of trials and appeals, from the most complex commercial and business litigation to legal and medical malpractice to construction defect cases. And we provide mediation and arbitration services and a full range of business advice, including business formation, commercial leasing, and all manner of contract negotiation. I think the most important feature of our firm is that my three partners and I have over 100 years of combined experience and a long track record of consistent success.
If you're having construction-related problems, mold issues, or you need a speaker, call my friend Ray Burke at Freistadt, Burke, Mullen, and Dubnow at 727-7740.
Welcome back to the final moments of the Baltimore Forum here on 1570 AM WNST. It's House in Baltimore. Very patriotic evening, I think. At least a good civic discussion is what we had this evening. So I thought playing some patriotic music in the form of John Philip Sousa marches would be appropriate for the evening.
I don't care who wrote the pledge. It still means the same thing to me, and it doesn't matter what he meant when he wrote it.
Yeah, I think
it's what I think when I say it.
I think that's, and that's an interesting point that I wish we would have thought of it at the time, because you mentioned something right there. What you think it means, what it means to you, and Mr. Curry was very, he was hammering home the point. That it, our nation was created for to be personal, very involved with personal liberties. That the personal liberty is the most cherished thing. That it's really what our nation is about. What our Constitution was about, to have that personal liberty to believe what you want to believe, to say what you want to say, and at the same time, but he's saying, well, the pledge only means one thing though.
Right. It's not a brainwashing tool. I don't believe that. It might have been written for that reason, but that's not the case today. So whatever Mr. Bellamy thought he was doing, I don't think it worked. And when I say the Pledge of Allegiance, which I will continue to do when I get a chance, it will mean to me that the flag represents our country and freedom that we have every day. We drive where we want to go. We marry who we want to marry. We do what we want to do, for the most part. But I do think that kids should be taught the truth. So with that being said, I don't know why kids aren't taught the truth. That's 30 years of my life, I did not know that the Pledge of Allegiance was written by a socialist.
At the same time, like you said, I don't really see how it matters, because right now, I guess, the meaning has evolved.
Right.
At least in my mind, it's evolved. I mean, even though now I know it's... And again, this is... It wouldn't have such an evil connotation had the Nazis not picked up on it. I mean, like I mentioned before we came back from break, I mean, if Bellamy had decided that his hand salute is what he wanted to do, for saluting the flag, and the Nazis decided that they were going to turn around and drop their pants as their salute, that hand salute would not be such a vile thing. Dropping your pants would be, well, it'd be even more vile than it is now, but...
but it wouldn't be evil.
You get the point. Yeah, right. A hand salute of that nature would not be considered... It wouldn't be considered the Nazi salute.
Right.
He kept referring to it as the Nazi salute. We're going to take a caller now. Stephanie from Pasadena is going to get in her opinion. How you doing, Stephanie?
I have a question for both of you.
Sure.
Since you've been out of high school, when have you said the pledge?
Has it been a couple times, different assemblies, I'm thinking school. Different events, not necessarily patriotic events, but where there's a dedication of a porch or something like that. I mean, different dedications at houses or ceremonies such as that. John?
I can't remember the last time I said the pledge.
So earlier when you said that people can't give a minute a day to say 50 words, why can't you give a minute a day to say the 50 words? When you get up in the morning, why don't you say the pledge?
I couldn't really say why. I don't. I mean, if I would have no problem if you want me to say the pledge right now, I'll say it. But I mean, I don't have a problem with if I had a child, I wouldn't have the problem with them being required to say the pledge. And I don't see any reason if someone came into work saying we're going to say the pledge every day, I'd be like, okay,
right. I agree. Fine with me. I agree with the way that the pledge is perceived as why you say it now. I agree with that. I just don't understand why you feel strong that it has to be said if once people graduate high school, they never even say it after that.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point as well, because John and I were discussing why do we sing the national anthem before a sports event?
Right.
I mean, you make a valid point there. When else do you really just, you know, sit up and sing the national anthem?
Right.
But nevertheless, whenever we go to a sporting event, most people, a great majority of the people, will take off their hat. Maybe they'll sit there and they'll lip the words, or they'll think the words, or you'll see them come out with maybe Home of the Brave, or definitely in an Orioles game, you know, you'll hear the O. But
Stephanie, let me ask you a question. When you are forced to say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, do you feel like you're worshiping the government or your country?
I don't feel like I'm worshiping the government, but before we say the pledge in my school, the teacher who says it says that we are supporting the troops who are fighting for us in Iraq, and I don't feel that is any reason related to the pledge at all. So I don't like saying the pledge.
Anytime, like even if a teacher had not said that?
I think that's different because it depends on the reasoning of your saying it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of have an issue with that. I mean, not that I don't support my troops, not that I don't feel like that pledging allegiance to the flag isn't in turn a support, but when you say you're saying it specifically, that does have, like this is the reason why you say the pledge. And that's not exactly the reason why you say it.
Exactly. Like, there's other ways to support our troops.
Right. And, I'll state my case, why I would say the pledge, why I say it anytime, is the fact that I'm expressing some kind of appreciation that I live in a country symbolized by the stars and stripes that gives me the freedom to express my views and opinions. That's why I consider saying the pledge an important thing.
Right.
And that's why I would hope other people would.
I always used to say the pledge, and then when you look at it, I realize that none of it is true. Like, we're not a republic. We are a democracy. And there's not justice.
We are a representative republic.
Right. So that's why I first stopped saying it. And then I went to Rex Curry's website and I read everything that he had written. And I realized why the pledge was written, because I was never taught. And I showed my teachers the papers I printed out, and they had never even heard of it either.
I doubt seriously that many people have.
Right.
But even so, as John said, irregardless of the history, I mean, obviously it had some kind of national socialist history, but still saying that, my contention is that saying the pledge has taken on a different meaning as it's evolved over the years.
Right.
And again, I have a real problem with Mr. Curry associating our saying of the pledge now to Nazism, because even still in the beginning, as I said, the hand salute would not be considered evil or vile today had the Nazis not picked up on it.
I understand that too, but also when you think about it, our salute was not taken as far as Hitler had taken it. Like, it wasn't taken as a mass.
You're saying that it could have been taken that far here. That's your point?
Yeah.
Valid point, I suppose. Even still, I...
Thank God for that. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Thank God for that. Definitely.
We wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah.
Quite possibly not. We wouldn't be having this discussion. But I thank you very much, Stephanie, for calling in.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.
Interesting.
Another interesting discussion. Thank you very much, Stephanie from Pasadena, calling in, expressing your opinion. Unfortunately, we don't have much time for more callers. If you'd like to give us an opinion on this or any other show that we've done, or like to tell us how we're doing, what we're not doing, if you want to tell us we suck, you can go ahead. We'd like to hear your feedback nonetheless, and you can reach us at Baltimore Forum, WNST, at hotmail.com. Of course, you can always give us a call during any Sunday night show, 410-481-1570. But it's much easier to get a hold of us off the air, obviously, through the email. Again, that's Baltimore Forum, WNST, at hotmail.com.
Well, at least young people give a hoot about what's going on in the world.
That's good. I'm glad Stephanie called. I didn't quite get what... I assume she was still in grade school since she's saying the pledge.
Right.
Which is great that she's given some thought about it. And one of the reasons why we're... Well, the reason why we're doing this show is because your daughter brought this topic up.
That was her.
That was her.
That was her.
Oh, now we get it. Now the truth comes out.
You thought we had a stray listener calling in, huh?
Hey, it's happened before. We don't get too many calls, but...
I don't totally believe what she's doing, but she has an opinion about what's going on, and then that's good for our country in the future.
That's what I'm saying, and I was telling you off the air that I still don't agree with her opinion. Obviously, you don't necessarily either. But at least she has the gumption, the strong belief inside of her that, hey, this is something I believe in. This is something I feel strongly about. And I don't care that despite the fact that I'm a student and I'm talking to an adult or someone who's much older to me, or I'm talking to a quote-unquote authority figure, you know, this is how I believe, and I'm going to say what I say, or say what I mean, say how I feel, and express it.
Right.
I think, again, I don't necessarily agree with her, but I think that's a great thing that she has that much belief in herself and how she feels to express that. I think that's a great thing.
You're seeing it more and more, I think, with young people, which is really good.
I hope a lot more people have that kind of... I guess you can call it patriotism. Patriotism within themselves to say, you know, something's not right about my country. I don't feel something is right about the country, whether we agree with it or not. Again, that's the reason why we live in this country. That's the reason why we love it, because we have the ability to speak our mind.
As long as they realize that this is probably the only country they can do that. Not the only country,
right,
but a lot of countries you can't even do that.
It's definitely something that you have to...
So that in itself should promote patriotism.
Patriotism can take many forms.
Right.
Again, like I said, we don't always like it. Don't always like other people's opinions on what patriotism is. But as long as we can have some kind of discussion and lead to some kind of civil discourse.
It does bother me that I never knew that it was written by socialists.
Well, hopefully this program... help some people realize that. I'd like to thank Rex Curry for joining us on the show. And we'll be talking next week with Linnea Anderson of the Red Cross of the Central Maryland region, or Chesapeake region. I'd like to thank you for listening to the show. You've been listening to the Baltimore Forum. John and Mike here. This is Baltimore Sports Talk, 1570 AM, WNST, Taos in Baltimore.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Greg Springer. Here is what's happening in the NBA playoffs today. It was game one of the Western Conference Final, and the Spurs win on the road, beating Phoenix 121-114. Tony Parker, 29. Tim Duncan at 28 with 15 rebounds. Amare Stoudemire in the loss at 41 for Phoenix, but head coach Mike D'Antoni says they just couldn't get it done.
I just don't think we had enough energy.